Hebrews chapter 2. Okay. Everything seems to be working properly this morning. Or efficiently, I might say. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection to the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by all things, whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are of all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, where I sing praise unto you. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Father, we ask this morning that your grace and mercy and love and your understanding of your scriptures that so changes us, Father, is opened up in us. Father, may our hearts truly be submitted to you, and may our hearts be changed. May we be transformed into this mind of Christ that we can truly love by the Spirit of God. And we not love out of our thinking process, Father, but love out of our hearts as a nature and a character that we have no control over. As surely as a cat climbs a tree or a dog barks, Father, let it be our nature to emanate love from the midst of ourselves. Father, truly let us know our identity and be like you in all things. Amen. Okay, back to verse 1. Therefore, and that's therefore for all the things he'd said in chapter 1, and I can't go back and do that, we ought to give heed, or literally apply ourselves and pay more attention to the things which we have heard. Does that make sense? We should apply ourselves and pay attention to the things that we have heard. Now, heard means something. What does it mean?
It means hearing with the intention to respond.
Well, something more than that. I'm saying the tense of the word. Heard. Oh, tells us something, don't it? See, if it says what you hear would be something present or future. See, but what you have heard makes it what? So what's he trying to tell you? Jesus said something in John 14:26. He said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send another comforter to you, which is the Holy Ghost. And he shall call all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Guess what? You've heard this before. All I'm trying to do is Stir it up in you so you can remember. Knock the dust off of it so we can remember, okay? So take or pay more attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip. Now there's a word that Paul uses in his writings. It's called paratoma. It's not the word hartomeia, the Greek word that everybody uses for sin, but it's translated sin, but I don't think it's the proper translation of it. But the language literally says this. Hartomeia means to miss the mark. Paratoma means an intentional or unintentional slip. What did he just say right there? Slip. Okay. Now, intentional or unintentional, what would that cover?
Everything.
See? That's what the language says. So we have to realize that at least any time we should let this thing slip away from us. That it tells us that we can have God in our grasp and let go of Him, doesn't it? He's right here. That doesn't mean we're going to lose out in the end. It just means we're not going to have any rewards. Okay? Because if the word spoken not by but through angels was stable or steadfast, and every transgression or violation and what? Disobedience. This word disobedience is not literally disobedience, but it's hearing amiss. The language says hearing amiss. Now, if I was to tell you, go in the kitchen and get you something to eat, and you heard me say, go in the kitchen and wash your feet, what would you be doing when I went into the kitchen? You'd be washing feet instead of getting something to eat. Right? Now, does that make you bad because you misheard me? No, you'd have clean feet. Wouldn't you? Well, okay. But what, you hear what I'm saying. Just because you hear amiss does not make you a bad person. It just means you didn't hear it properly. Right? See? So he's not talking about doing some bad thing here. He's saying, if you hear wrong. Does any of us ever heard anything wrong?
I hear it every day.
I mean, come on, every one of us experiences. Someone can say something to us, they say, that cup there is red. And somebody said, Fred who? I mean, your minds do these things. You got to understand it's not you. Can you hear me? This is that mind, that serpent, the thing between our ears that's constantly messing things up. When God told Eve, Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree. What did that thing do to Eve? Said, if you eat of that tree, you'll be just like God. Well, she already was. See, it was a hearing amiss. And there was the sin from the very beginning. She didn't hear what was said. If she'd have paid attention to what God said, she wouldn't have believed what her mind told her. She wouldn't have believed that serpent. She wasn't paying attention. So we need to pay attention, okay? Don't be worried about the external things we're doing, but what we're hearing and what's going on inside of us. And it says, because of this, they received a just recompense of reward. How shall... Let me say something one more here, just goes on. If they received a just recompense for reward for the natural things they did they? He's talking about the ones that died in the desert. Did they receive a just recompense? Okay, now answer a question. Where are they at?
In the flesh.
Huh. See, the just recompense was in the flesh. He never judged them in spirit after they died. Did he? When Jesus went into the bowels of the earth, what did he do? What did the book say he did? He went to set the captives free. How many was captive?
All.
How many did he set free?
All.
He went and got them. So God's not punishing those people. He brought them and reconciled them back through His Son Jesus, the Christ. Okay. I don't want you to get the wrong idea about He's punishing them or something. God's not mad at anybody. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance? Not salvation, but deliverance. Which at the first began to be spoken through the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. See? He's talking about people that actually heard Jesus ministering and spoke these things to them. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to their will. See, this is not about us. That's why in the Pentecostal realm, you know, it never set with me that someone could have, and when I first started, I thought, boy, I must be nothing because I just can't do this when they do it. I mean, they go out there and just make everything happen. Of course, they were working it up in their soulish realm. But when I understand that it's His will, the Holy Ghost, it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, in 1 Corinthians, He says that He divides the gifts to every man how? As who wills. As He wills. See? It's not my choice to work up a gift. If God wants something done, He spoke through the Scripture says, a dumb ass, a donkey, a burro, whatever it was, a four-legged creature. If He can speak through that, He can speak through anybody, can't He? Anything He needs to speak through. So if that's what He wants to do, then why do I think that I have the authority and power to stir something up in me and do? Because Jesus Himself said, I did nothing that I wasn't directed by my Father to do. Jesus didn't do what He wanted to do, did He? He did what Father told Him to do. And that kind of sounds like what we talked about this morning, about waiting on God and hearing and getting direction from Him instead of trying to run out and do something. See? It's immaturity to try to go out and do something and suppose we understand everything God wants. We can understand a lot about God, but we don't know what He wants done necessarily. Okay? I can love my Father and know Him very well, but I don't know what He wants done. That's in His mind, and He's got to give it to me. Same with all of us. Okay. In James 1 and 18, it says, He begot us by His own will. James 1 and 18. And what I was speaking of is 1 Corinthians 12 and 11, where He said, He divides the gifts severally as He wills. Okay, as He wills. It's not our will. Because to the angels has He not put in subjection the world to come wherever we speak. He's never said that these ministering spirits could ever control anything, did He? He gave that to the sons of Abraham, didn't He? But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man or humanity that thou art mindful of them? Hello. Of humanity, plural. Job 7, verse 17 and 18, speaks of this place that he talked about. And then David again reiterated it in Psalm 8, verse 4 through 8. And in Psalm 144, verse 3 and 4, is where he says, what is man that they're mindful of him? What is in humanity that he's mindful of? What is it?
Christ.
It's the Christ that he's put within us. There's the thing that keeps him mindful of humanity. He created this vessel to put his Christ within. See, that's why he's mindful of them. Or the Son of Man, that thou should visit them. You know, said, you made them a little lower than the angels. Not him. He didn't make Jesus lower than anything. He made humanity a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, and you did set them over the work of your hands. Now, who did he set over the work of his hands?
Adam.
He said, Adam, take this world, subdue it, didn't he? See? He set the world in the hands of humanity. He wasn't talking about Jesus the Christ. He put this vessel. He gave it to us. See? Okay. He said, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That's Christ's feet, his lifestyle. If we walk his lifestyle, could I possibly have anything that's not in subjection to me? Hello. Can you hear me? If I am living the lifestyle of Christ, what would not be under my feet as I walk my life? Would there be fear? Insecurities? Retaliation, anger, violence, would those things be in my life? Because in his lifestyle, he has put everything under his feet. So that means he can walk right over top of it, doesn't it? Does it mean he never experienced it?
No.
See? You got to experience it, but you have to also separate from that thing. There has to be a point where you say, that's it. I know it's here. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay? because in that he put all in subjection under him or them, he left nothing that is not put under subjection under him. But now we see not all things put under him. So what's he saying? He's showing you something. He said, we know everything's under him, but yet we don't see it. What's he telling you? Everybody hasn't experienced this yet. Have they? Let's go back 10 years ago. How many of you experienced what you're experiencing today? Go back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Man, we're all back out in the street. Huh? See, none of us know what was going on. He said, now we don't see that anymore, but then what did he say we do see?
Jesus.
What's that mean?
Christ.
We see Christ. And didn't Paul say, we no longer see any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, we don't even look to Jesus, the man, after the flesh, but we look to all of them after the Spirit, because Christ is Spirit. See, we've got to get out of this mentality that someone has a flaw in them. Hello, you all got flaws. Me too. You hear it? My flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. My spirit is in the kingdom of God. And I didn't say he's going to inherit anything. I said my spirit and your spirit is in the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Luke 17:20, the kingdom of God is where? Well, then guess where it's at? It's not in the by and by somewhere. It's in you right now. And your spirit is already in the kingdom. You just haven't got it reconciled with this body yet. That's all. It's got a little experience to go through yet. You'll get there. You know how I know that? Because he said, whoever began a good work in you shall complete it. Who began the good work in you? God did that, and God's going to finish it. You can't stop it. If you could stop it, then you're more powerful than God. And I don't think that's going to happen. See, I already know it's going to end. I know how it's going to end. We're going to win. I know that. Okay. That he, by the grace of God, should taste... Now, we see Jesus, who or the one that was made a little lower than the angels or the messengers, for the suffering of death, crowned with honor and glory and honor. Now, look, he said Jesus, this Christ, was made for one thing. What?
To die.
See? And that was that body. You know what? If we're Christ on the earth today, and the Bible says we're Christ on the earth today, guess what my body's for? To die. It's going to die for somebody else. Do you hear me?
Sacrifice.
It's going to be a sacrifice. I mean, if he had to be, what am I? Well, you know what? At the same time he was sacrificed, so were you, according to the Scripture. Because Paul said when he was on the cross, you was on the cross. And he said whenever he was buried, you were buried. And when he was raised in newness of life, you were raised in newness of life. When are we going to believe what he says? When are we going to believe this thing? Are we going to wait till somebody comes around 50 years from now, 100 years from now? Or when are you going to believe that God said, and that's the end of it? That's it. He said it. That makes it real. See, we've got to come, somebody has to come up and say, hey, I believe what God said. You know what? I'll be guilty of that. I believe it. Throw the rocks if they want to. I'm opening the box. It's already open, brother. Bet on that. I ripped that package open a long time ago. Okay, where am I at? 9, 10. Oh, no. That he should taste death for the sake of every man, or for all. The word is all. See, he died to taste death for every man. Who would that leave out?
No one.
If it didn't leave anybody out, then there's going to be an empty void someplace where the church preaches everybody's supposed to go. Most people's supposed to go. Verse 10. Because it was what? It was fitting for him, is what it should say. It was fitting for him through whom are all things, even through whom are all things, in leading many sons into glory to make the captain, that's the leader, isn't it, of their deliverance perfect or mature through what? And so the church says, come on in and walk through the tulips. Come to the rose garden. Now I'm going to tell you, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. There's going to be a lot of suffering. Now it may be physical, but it may not be. You know there's more suffering between your ears than there is anywhere else? Here's the suffering when we're rejected like he was rejected. When he went to his hometown, they said, wasn't his dad the carpenter? And there's his mother, Mary, over there, and his sister. Who does he think he is? You're not going to get any respect out of humanity. Humanity don't know how to respect anybody. Come on, they don't. They're into taking care of the ego, the number one man to them. So if you want some suffering scriptures, let me give you a few of them. Luke 13:32, Luke 24:27-46, John 19:30, and Hebrews 5:8-9. Okay? Just give you a few. There's many, many more. I could do you a teaching on suffering, and I could preach to you for 3 hours. I guarantee you, not even begin to touch all of them. And that's just starting in, maybe in the book of Acts. From Acts through, just on the word suffering. Just touch the verses that has the word suffering in it. I could preach 3 hours on you and never even begin to get it through. So there's something to do with the suffering we need to know about. But see, it's already been taken care of. Because he said it's what? Finished. So it's not a physical suffering, it's a mental suffering. When you're rejected like that, what do you feel like? What would you feel like, Alice, if your children rejected you and wouldn't talk to you? Man. Now, does that give me a right to get into low self-esteem and feel sorry for myself?
No.
See, I don't. I've got a daughter that doesn't speak to me. I got a granddaughter that should be 3 and July 8th, and I haven't seen her for over 2 years, and she just lives an hour from here, and I can't talk to her. I could get in low self-esteem and have a pity party, but I know my father's in control of this thing, and there's a purpose for it, and I can't get involved in it. I can't go force my way in and try to do something. That's not of God. I won't push, as some people say.
You know.
Yeah, I won't do that. I'll just wait on Father, and whatever's meant to be will come this way. But I won't interrupt somebody else's life if that's what they want to do. It's the same with all of us. I mean, we're rejected, man. That don't feel good. And I'll guarantee you this. The day that he died, he was rejected again. But I guarantee you, even if he's rejected today, he still feels. You hear me? You'll never get over the pain of rejection. I mean, what I'm saying is you'll always feel the pain. It's no different. If I'd walk up to you and stick a knife in you, would you feel the pain? You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to have to react and retaliate, but I'm going to feel the pain. Rejection or hurt or suffering has no benefit if there's no pain involved in it. If there was no feeling in it, what benefit would there be? It'd just be a nothing, wouldn't it? You have to love them right through the midst of it, even when they're hurting you and doing it the worst. Okay? Where are we at? Verse 11, because both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all from out of one. The word of should be from out of. So all of us are from out of one, being who? God. We're all out of God the Father. See, Christ came from God, so we all came out of God the Father, through which cause he, or because of this, he's not ashamed to call us what? If we all have the same Father, then guess what we are? We're all brothers. We're all family. See, we're all brothers and sisters. We've got the same Father. Now tell me somebody on this earth that doesn't have the same Father. I'm waiting. I saw a sign. Where, I don't know where I saw it. We went up to Waverly yesterday, Chillicothe. I saw a sign in a store. Yeah, no, it said, you know, one world under God. One world under God. And what they were saying, you see all these people saying, God bless America, and this person's got enough guts to say, no, we're all under one God. One world, one God. See, no matter what people think, there's one world, one God. There are brothers and sisters, even if they're throwing bombs at us or crashing airplanes into towers, it makes no difference. There's one God, one world. They're all our family. So you better get used to it. You're going to be together through eternity. So you might as well get used to meeting some more family. Verse 12. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the church will I sing praise to you. He said, I'm going to declare your name. He's talking about God. I'm going to declare your name. And what is your name? Your nature and your character again. Anoma. I'm going to declare your name in the church. And guess what? You are the church. In the church where I sing praises to you. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. That's who's going to do it. For as much then, or since then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. See, He's calling us children before we became partakers of the blood, didn't He? He said, since the children are partakers of flesh and blood. So we were children before the flesh and blood. He also Himself likewise took part of that same. He who? God. Right? In order that, the word that is the word hina in the Greek, and it means in order that through death He might destroy him that had power of death, or the one that had power of death. The word him's not there. The one that had power of the death. And who is that?
The devil.
The word devil says the false accuser. It doesn't say devil, says the false accuser. Now who's your false accuser? In my mind, every day we hear something accuse us of doing something wrong. Don't we? Do I have to listen to it? No. I can just say, that's some of them things that's under his lifestyle. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said, didn't he? If I have the mind of Christ, I can't live and communicate with that serpent nature. Do you hear me? I have to put it under my feet. I have to say, no. This thing, I hear you, but I'm not going there. It's that simple. You've got to make a decision in your life. Anything, any vice, any character flaw that you feel it's in your life that is not becoming of God, there's only one way to stop it. You can't quit anything by a formula. You hear me? Because everybody in the church has got formulas how to do this, 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 quit this, change that, do this, do that. It's not a formula. It's one thing, knowing that God resides in you in the person of Christ. You got to know He's in there. Okay? It's not what I say out of my mouth if I cuss in front of somebody. That's not what it's about. I mean, what difference would it make if I cussed in front of another human being? Who else did I cuss in front of? Okay? God sees everything. See? Who should I be concerned with? I hear people say it all the time to me. Whoops, I didn't mean to say it in front of you. You're a preacher. Well, what are you worried about me for? You'll be concerned about your father. What does your father think? See? We've got to get our minds back in the right place. Where am I at here? That he might destroy him that had power over, that is the devil. In 1 John 3 and 8, does anybody know what it says? Can they quote it to me? I'll start it out and you'll pick it up. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy, the works. See, the works of the devil. Now, see, if there was a devil, he's not trying to destroy him, he's trying to destroy his what? And if we realize that it's this thinking process. And what he's saying, in destroying the works of the devil, he's destroying the thinking process, the carnal mind, the way it works. He's putting on the mind of Christ upon us, isn't he? He's putting that mind in us so that we think differently. That's what he's doing. He's not destroying your brain, how your brain works. He's destroying the program. How's that? Can you understand that? He's taking the program of Adam out of your mind and putting the program of God in your mind. Now you have the mind of Christ, the mind of the Father. Same thing, right? So he's, what's that? Deleting. He's deleting your other mind and putting in the mind of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's not going to be a total delete like you do on your computer, just boot and wipe it all away. It's not that simple. You put a little bit in every day. You work at it and you work at it and you work at it. Yeah, put it in the trash bin and empty it later. There you go. Okay. And deliver them. So he's going to destroy the works of the devil, that thinking thing. And that's how he's going to do what in the 15th verse?
Deliver.
He's going to deliver them who through what? The word is fear. It's phobos. The root word is phobia, where we get our fears and phobias. Same meaning. So everybody that's been in phobia all their life, or fears all their life of death, Fear of what? Dying. When I was younger, I used to say, you know, I was full of so much pride and arrogance and fear, but I would not let anybody know it, because if I let someone know I was afraid, you was weak, wasn't you, Bob? Man can't let, no, you're a man. Can't let nobody see any fear on you. They'll think you're a sissy. But you know what? The whole time I was trying to put on this facade to people, and I was angry, and I was violent, and I hurt many people physically to keep up my facade, to make them think that I was bad so they'd leave me alone. In reality, I was scared to death. See? And when I got to Vietnam, I found out about fear. I found out there wasn't nobody that wasn't walking with some of it. You get into combat, you'll find out it's like that way in a war situation when you're not in control and someone else is doing everything and you're just caught in the middle of it. You'll find fear. And then one day God shook my cage. He turned me upside down and he showed me, in reality, I was scared plumb stiff. And I had a facade so bad that dynamite couldn't have blasted through it. But only God's love coming into my life could tear that facade down and make me realize it don't make any difference what anybody thinks, because now I have no fear. People can do anything they want to do. I have no fear because I know Him who took care of all that. And I'm not just saying I know that there was something that God did that took care of something. No, I'm saying I know Him. It's not about knowing about this book. It's not about knowing what He did. I'm telling you, I know Him. And there's no more fear. If you see this, there's no more fear. You're free. Nothing can put you in captivity anymore. God, if you could just hear this. Hear it with your spirit, not with your eardrums. You're free. You don't have to go back under anything. I'll get there in a second, just a minute. And deliver them who through fear of death were all or throughout all their lifetime subject to slavery. Can you imagine the life of a slave? Never having a right to do anything? Is that what a slave is? They only do what they're told. You can never have the pleasure of doing anything that would pass through your mind that you would like to do. Could you imagine being there? Most of society is there. They just don't know they're in jail. Paul told me a story about the dog they used to have, Zoe. And he tied her up in front of a fireplace to dry her after they give her a bath. And they clipped her to a little chain. And after so long, he didn't have to tie her up no more. Just take her, sit there, just tap it on her collar. She felt like she thought she was tied up, and they could walk away and she'd sit there, right? That's the way humanity is. Through fear that God has already destroyed. It's a done deal. It's finished. But we're sitting there in fear, afraid to do anything. I can't do what I want to do because somebody might do something. It's not in my control. Me staying here ain't going to stop it, is it? If you got something to do, do it. See? There's liberty and freedom in God. Not bound up. I can go. When I go out of here, if this place burned, it almost did in July, last July, I come back and the side of the house was scorched, the roof was burnt, fence burnt down, houses next door burnt down. What's that to me? I got insurance, so what? Burn it down, God will give us another one. No big deal, right? It's just stuff. But if I have to live my life not being able to do what's in my heart, I'm in the biggest prison in the world. No bars could lock you up that bad if your mind, and I know all kinds of people that are locked up in their minds so bad that they can't enjoy and know Him. They only know about something that went on in that book. If you can't get it out of that book and get it in your heart, you're wasting your time. It's got to come real in your life. Got to come to reality. Because, verse 16, verily or truly He took not on Him the nature of the angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Again, He didn't give it to angels. He gave it to us, His sons. We're His seed. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him. That's kind of a terrible word. He had to be made like unto his brethren. It didn't behoove him anything. That's King James language. I don't know where they got that. Sound like he got hooves on him like a cow or something, or a horse. I don't know. Wherefore, in all things, he had to be made like unto his brethren in order that he become, not he might be, that word might isn't even there. It's genomei, it means he, that in order that he might become the compassionate, merciful, and faithful high priest in things pertaining to who?
Okay.
Now, to be that high priest, he had to be what? Merciful, faithful, or the word merciful is compassionate. Right? In things pertaining to God. What pertains to God? Hello, things that pertain to God. He has to be compassionate to people. This is not about books and trees and houses and cars and rocks. It's about people. He had to have compassion and faithfulness to the people. See, didn't he say that he was a mediator? There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, had to be that faithful mediator between God and man. This is us. And if we can't come to this place, we'll never be that faithful mediator. But we better be. That's what we're called to be. What's the purpose? To make what? He's going to be a faithful priest, compassionate, merciful priest in things pertaining to God. Look at there. To make what? Reconciliation for the sins of the people. My God. To make reconciliation. To reconcile man back to God from the separation that was between them because of what they thought in their minds. Do you hear me? We've only been separated from God in our thinking process. If we would let this thing go aside and just listen to what God says, we wouldn't have a problem. It's what we think. It's always been what we think. From the very beginning, it was what we think. And what does think mean? The word think is noio. And the words we use, repentance, is metanoio. Change, meta, the way you think. Isn't that what it's about? That's what the mediator's doing. He's trying to come to you and show you what God is saying. Don't listen to what your mind says. Listen to what the Spirit of God says. God says He loves you. He says you're holy, you're righteous, you're unblameable, you're not guilty, you're sons of God, you're called, you're anointed, you're blessed. How much more do we need? How many things do I have to come up with? I got a list over if you want me to bring them up.
Everything will be all right if you trust Him.
That's it. See? But we're not trusting. We say, I trust God. But as soon as something comes up, you grab your gun and defend yourself. See? Well, am I trusting God or am I trusting in this 44 till God shows up? Huh? Come on. I had a bad report this week. They said, I'm going to go paralyzed from the neck down. I don't believe that. Hear me? I don't believe it. Now, I can go talk to them, but I don't believe it. Because I don't think God's going to put me on a bed. I don't think so. I don't believe it for a minute. They want to do surgery on me. They want to cut me in three places, in my back and my neck. I don't believe it. I go talk to them, not saying I won't have surgery sometime, but I don't believe I'm going to be paralyzed. Because God said I'd die naturally, a natural cause, and I don't think it's laying on a bed wasting away. I've got things to do. I don't have time to understand and to realize what them doctors say they know. Because I don't believe them doctors know everything. But I do know Him who does know everything. And I trust in Him. And I don't have to worry about it. Where are we at? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Let me read you a verse out of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8. Verses 14 and 15. I guess I have to read 13 to set the context of it. It says, And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats on them and girded them with girdles, and he put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded him. and he brought the bullock for the sin offering. What is a bullock?
A young bull.
Yeah. Now, what does that bull represent except the human nature, the beastly nature? And he said he brought that for, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock. There's that mind again they're trying to do away with. For the sin offering. And he slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horn of the altar round about with his finger and purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it to do what? To reconcile, for reconciliation. This word reconciliation has came from the heart of God from the very beginning. And people don't want to receive it. I'm sorry. This is what God has from the very beginning. You can look in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 24. And you can look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. And you'll find this same thing. And you know what it says in 2 Corinthians? God has given us now the mystery of reconciliation. Well, if He gave it to us, what are we supposed to do with it?
Walk it.
We're supposed to walk it out. He gave us a job to do, and that's to reconcile creation back to Himself. If it seems too big for you, okay, but I'm going to go on. I'll carry you in, okay? Bad back or no bad back, I'm going to carry you in. Okay. And said, the reconciliation was for the sins of the people. Verse 18, because in that He Himself hath suffered, whoa, what did He do? He was suffered being not tempted, but tested or disciplined. That's what the word, the language says, tested or disciplined. He is able to aid or help them that are tested or disciplined. See, God chastises those He loves. So all this stuff we're talking about, life that we go through, what's the purpose of it? God is trying to test us, not to show us what we don't know, but to show us how much we've learned. And in our faults, we learn from that. And in that, He is disciplining us. Okay? He disciplines us. If we love our children, do we not discipline them? Okay. God is just disciplining His children. Don't get upset and don't take it personal. But He's going to discipline us. Hebrews 5 and 8 says that. Okay? So you can go ahead and think what you want. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, we've got to change. We can't live in this past anymore. It is. Everything is. It's not what went on back there. Yes, thank God that stuff went on. And Paul said everything that happened to them was written for one reason. For our learning and our instruction. That's why all that went on back there. Come on, we've got to get this in us. Can't be playing a game about this thing. This is reality now. You've got to know Him. The Jews walked and they knew about Him. Moses knew His ways and the Jews knew about Him. Where'd they end up? In the grave? You want to sit on the throne, you've got to know Him. We've got to go beyond just knowing about Him. Whew. I think I know why I redid it.